Joining us now in studio is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure, Jeff. You said some of the words that make me the happiest all year. Pitchers and catchers report. Yeah. What a day. Can we spend the whole show talking about the Twins?
Shall
because
we?
I like Kepler, and I'm just not sure I'm ready to give him up for even someone who I think is a good starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And will the young guys, they've got some good arms there, but how will those young guys progress another year? They kind of almost established themselves, a few of them, as stars, but we'll see. We'll talk baseball. Maybe we'll have you back sometime.
That would be great.
Let's talk about schools, because you've had, we're in the really the busy time of the year, in between the Christmas break and the spring break. You've got a lot of stuff going on.
You know, it seems anymore, we used to talk, it seems like there's never a stop. I'm waiting for the slow time, Jeff. But the reason that it's busy is because we have, you know, students who are so dedicated to all sorts of different things, you know, growing as mm-hmm. young people. And at our high school this past weekend, one of the events I'm really proud of that we have within the Northfield schools is our one-act play festival. And many schools in high schools in Minnesota, what they do is they have one single one-act play, kind of like they have the fall play or the mm-hmm. spring play. There's one director, and it's usually an adult teacher. There's a cast, and you go and compete at the state high school league meet, and you can go through the regional process all the way to state, and Minnesota has an outstanding system. In Northfield, we've taken a little bit of a different approach, and we actually have a one-act play festival. And so basically, this year we had five different one-act plays. So again, most schools, they might have one one-act play that they're mm-hmm. doing. We had five. All five of them were student-directed. Two of the five were actually written by our students. And of course, they're produced and acted by students. And so while for the first time in quite some time, we actually had one of those plays, again, also a student-directed play, participate in the state high school league competition down in Cassin in January. And that's the first time, and high school principal Joel Lear says that's the first time since he's been here, and he's been here for more than a decade. So again, what we really appreciate about this approach is that we get more students involved. We have a very active theater community within Northfield, of course, and then that, of course, translates to a very strong theater program at the high school. And students get an opportunity to do more than just act. The acting, of course, is very important, but for those students who have written a play, talk about an act of creativity. We talk about makerspace and all the kinds of things we want students to be creative with. Writing your own play is pretty darn creative, Jeff. Students who have an opportunity to learn how to direct a play in terms of that's a leadership opportunity, and how do I get the most, how do I bring the best out in the students, my peers that are acting in the play that I'm directing. And so we're just really proud of that particular example. We had great crowds on Friday and Saturday, a little sparser crowd on Sunday, but really pleased with the community support of our young theatrical performers and administrators there.
What a great program. And yeah, you're right. Putting them in a leadership role, in a role that they do have responsibility for and some duties, especially in the theater and in the arts, that will really come in handy throughout their life. They learn skills that will go beyond the theater.
And I always think that those kinds of things are that as adults, we understand that we have to deal with a little bit of pressure. And your job, you have a little bit of pressure. I watch it every time I come in here. That commercial ends. You've got to be ready to go. You've got your whole day planned. I'm going to guess you get a curveball from time to time, right? Well, you don't just learn to do that. And for students to put them in circumstances where there's what I would call a safe amount of pressure is important for their development. And this is one of those examples. There's a safe amount of pressure. You have to deliver. You have to perform. There are things that can happen that are out of your control that you have to react to and learn. Those are the kinds of soft skills, right, that employers are looking for. And I think you'd think, oh, it's tough to connect, you know, theater to those soft skills that employers are looking for. But I would be willing to bet that it should be, if you ask most employers, do they need that resilience, that ability for their workers to react to something that they didn't anticipate, to be able to deliver on a plan? All of those things are the kinds of things that employers are looking for, and it's part of our strategic plan with our near-term priority supporting all career and college pathways. And this is a different way of looking at that, but co-curricular activities are a very important part of that development.
All right. Anything else before we head into last night's meeting?
Yeah, one other item I just really want to share with the community, really proud high school biology teacher Jody Saxton West. She's a legend within Northfield, I think mm-hmm. it's safe to say. She was recently selected to present as a main presenter at the National Advanced Placement Conference by the College Board. Now, for people who understand about advanced placement courses, this is a huge deal to be selected to present at the national conference. All of her expenses are being sponsored by a company called Biorad, who we've had a partnership where Jody's biology students actually do some experimentation on some of their products in terms of, and they've actually been written up as confirming some of the experimentation and doing some of the research work with Biorad. So a really great school, private industry partnership. And again, just Jody is a gem that we have within Northfield, and really proud to have her recognized. Again, what she's going to talk with people about is how do we really make the most use of time before and after the AP exam. And she's going to be talking about some of these very specialized laboratory experiments that she does with students to really engage them throughout the entire school year. So again, congratulations to Jody Saxton West. It's a really big honor. So
yeah,
congratulations.
It's a huge honor on a national scale. Wow. Very impressive. All right, and best of luck
stuff.
To her.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on into the school board meeting last night. We want to talk about some legislative stuff here in a moment or so. But first, do you have anything you'd like to mention before that?
Yeah, we had a really great presentation last night from Northfield Middle School Principal Greg Gelino and middle school math coach Dan Myers, instructional coach Dan Myers. And one of the things that we're committed to within the public school system here in Northfield is continuous improvement. And so we keep getting better at how we look at continuous improvement, but in a nutshell, we are always looking at what is our current reality, how are we performing across the entire system, no matter what area it is, you know, how are we able to look at ourselves, reflect, and take some honest stock of how we're performing, and then move forward. Now, that's a lot easier to do when you have an area where maybe you're not performing as well as you would like to, or you don't have the kind of programming you'd like. But in our middle school math program, we've had a really good program over the years, some really great teachers, and they're looking at how could we make this even better. And so they shared what is the current middle school mathematics course progression last night, and then something that they're thinking about at this point. It's not for sure, but it's something that they're thinking about. So right now, as students enter sixth grade. So you think about that, Jeff. I'm transitioning from elementary school to middle school. Now, I just want our listeners to close their eyes for a moment and think about that for a moment. I think many of us would say, hey, that's a pretty tough time of a kid's life. You know, that's a pretty big transition, transitioning from elementary school to middle school or junior high. When students currently get into sixth grade, they have an opportunity to participate in a couple of different mathematics progressions. Right now we have a pre-algebra 6 course, which is considered an accelerated path, and we also have a math 6 course. Now, over the years, depending upon the student makeup, we've had a math 6 plus, which is something that's kind of in between. The math 6 would be what we'd consider the traditional math track that most every school in Minnesota would have, but we've also had that advanced track and sometimes a partially advanced track. Now, the issue with that is that in order to qualify for that advanced track, which if you are on that accelerated track and you take the progression all the way through high school, those students could take 2 advanced placement courses. Now, we typically have one section, roughly 30 students of that advanced or that accelerated math track. And what we've noticed over the past several years is that in order to qualify students for that accelerated track, we were relying a lot on elementary data. And we were looking at elementary test scores, some other pieces that come out of the elementary school. And so typically, then students make that transition to the middle school. And our question was, okay, we know that STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, math jobs are really important. We know we need a use for more engineers, more folks who can have high complex math ability. And our question was, are we able to get enough students into that accelerated track based upon their elementary performance? That's the question that we've had. And so what they have looked at is saying, okay, what if we were to do something just a little bit differently? What if we were to leverage some of the online teaching tools that we now have and delay entrance into that accelerated track by 1 year? So instead of making that decision on an accelerated track when you coming into sixth grade, let's let you have that opportunity to transition into sixth grade. The concept is everyone would be in a math 6 class. There'd be the direct instruction of the grade 6 state mathematics standards for all students like we have now. And then in addition to that, under the guiding hand of a caring teacher, using some online tools, there's a tool that we're using in our middle school called Imagine Math that really can give each student content in mathematics at their own level. So you could have 25 students in the course, and you could have 3 students working on some geometry stuff that really would be high school content. You may have some other students who are still mastering multiplication tables within a group of 25 students. Now, when I first started teaching, there were some teachers in our school who wanted to do this exact kind of thing, and they spent their entire weekends making up and copying individualized packets for each student. So every kid every week would have, you know, the mathematical content at their grade level. Let's just say that's a slog. You know, that's a lot of work.
A
lot of effort, and it's continuous and it's ongoing. Well, with some of the online tools that we have now, by using these databases of what are called pathways, teachers who know students have an opportunity to assign them to a pathway. They then get to see real-time data to say, is this pathway the right one for the student, kind of a sweet spot? And again, it's not something that's replacing. It's a combination. It's an addition to. It's in education, we call that differentiation, wanting to try to meet the needs of all the learners in your classroom, though there's one teacher and, you know, 25 or 30 students. They actually did a test of this over the summer, and what happened is the 30 students who had an opportunity to use this Imagine Learning over the summer actually then entered the accelerated track after sixth grade. And some anecdotal data from talking with the teacher in that course says that that teacher could not tell, you know, if the students had come through the traditional accelerated track or they had had this extra scoop of opportunity for mathematical practice at their own content level before they got it. So for the first time, we actually have two sections of an accelerated course, and I believe that that's in eighth grade this year. So what is really exciting about this for the middle school is that we know we want to have kids who have an opportunity to take both of those advanced placement courses should they want to when they get to the high school. The middle school folks think that they might be able to double the number of kids who enter that accelerated track simply by pausing and letting kids develop appropriately during that sixth grade year. So again, really great presentation last night, and what I really want the community to know is that, you know, we're not just resting on our laurels and saying, oh, we've got this really great program that can get kids two AP math classes at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
We're not satisfied with that. We're looking, how can we get more kids to be prepared, if they so choose. Not that everybody has to take that, but if you so choose, you'd have that opportunity to do that. And so, again, still in development, but had a really great presentation to the board. Greg Gelino and Dan Myers and the team over there at the middle school have just done a fantastic job of looking at what's next for them.
Do you think at this point that's something you'd look for the 18-19 school year, or will it be beyond?
You know, I think it's very possible it could be for the 18-19 school year. That will be finalized over the next, you know, month or so. I do think that that's the intent. The goal would be that. And I think that we have the tools to do it. I think that we have the staff to do it. And I think, of course, our students are up to the challenge in terms of, I think that, you know, if giving students that opportunity to have the chance to transition to middle school, having that ability for them to be connected with one of the, anybody who's had a sixth grader knows that our sixth grade teams are fantastic. And so the work that our math teachers do with them within this particular concept, we think has an opportunity to do some great things for kids. So we're in that be quick but don't hurry stage. I do think it's something they'd like to do for 18-19, but we will make that determination in the next month or so.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Matt Hillman, Superintendent of Schools here in Northfield. Let's talk about the legislative session. It's just, a week or
week
two
away?
Yeah, it's coming up. Of course, funding is always a big thing with the legislature, and also, there's a lot of other education-related issues. What will be the focus this year from what you can see as far as the educational portion of the legislative session?
That's a great question. And I think that, number one, if I can just really share that, you know, every day we read about, you know, various things happening in our governments from the federal down to the local level. And, you know, I actually have quite a few people from time to time who contact me about things that they read that happen at the federal level and how they impact local schools. And while, of course, the federal government does have tremendous impact on us, it pales in comparison to the impact that the state legislature has on Minnesota schools. And so what I would really encourage people who have an affinity for politics and an affinity for government, regardless of your political persuasion, I'm asking you to really pay close attention to the Minnesota legislature, because it's very important that Northfielders and residents of the school district are involved and make their voice heard, because what happens at St. Paul really does have a direct impact, more so than many other things, on Northfield Public Schools. It is what is called, as you know, Jeff, it's the second year of a biennium. Many people call it a non-funding session, though I'm not sure I've ever seen a non-funding session. And when you talk about funding, you're also talking about using people's hard-earned tax dollars, which, you know, here locally we're very serious about making sure we put those to good use. call it a bonding year from time to time. But as you know, we've not heard a whole lot about any of that yet because people are waiting for the February forecast to come out. As you remember, the November financial forecast for the state showed that taxes hadn't been collected as quickly of a rate as they had thought. They're projecting a little bit of a deficit. And so there were some people who questioned the validity of that November forecast due to a number of economic concerns. So I think everyone is waiting to see what does that February forecast, which I actually think comes out in March, say. So I think we'll see that. Now, typically, from time to time, in the second year of a biennium, the school districts may get a minor increase to our per pupil basic formula. We're not holding our breath on that at all this year, though the organizations we belong to are, of course, we're going to advocate for a 1% increase to that in this coming year. For folks at home, 70% of the revenue that we get in the district comes from the state of Minnesota. It is one of two constitutional obligations that the state government has, roads and schools. And so, it's so important because we can think about we're so thankful for the generous operating levy that our voters approved in November. It helps make our financial outlook look much better. There's lots and lots of school districts you're going to read about in the next couple of months who are doing not just some cuts, they're doing massive cuts. And so we're very fortunate to be able to maintain our programming here, but we can't do that unless we have some kind of reasonable increase from the state. And so while we always are holding out hope that maybe we'll get some kind of increase in the second year of the biennium, no one's holding their breath this time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas that we hope they might make some move on, and that's a priority for several of the organizations that we partner with, is around special education and special education funding. And the special education services that we provide to students with disabilities, in my opinion, is a moral imperative. You know, in terms of providing students with the disabilities a free and appropriate public education as outlined in federal law, it's not just the law, it's just the right thing to do. The issue is that the federal government has said over years that they would pay up to 40% of those costs. They've never gotten above 21% or so. In fact, they've regressed in the last few years. So you're going to hear this session a term called special education cross-subsidy, and that's political speak for the local general fund dollars that school districts pay for mandated special education services that are not reimbursed by the state or the federal government. In Northfield alone, we have a $3.6 million special education cross-subsidy. So we would certainly advocate that there's an increase to the special education formula so that we can free up some of those general fund dollars here again. Incredibly important programming that we are very proud of in Northfield of how well we do with that, but we could use some additional help in funding that from the state.
Do you see any momentum in the legislature? I know it's early to tell, but is...
You know, it's so hard to say, Jeff, because special education funding does impact districts differently across the state.
Mm-hmm.
The districts where there is a substantial cross-subsidy, of course, that's a priority. We've tried this for several years, and we just have not been able to get the legislature to hold on to it. But for folks listening, if you're talking to your legislator, I mean, this is an issue that on both sides of the aisle, you know, locally, both Representative Dreheim or Senator Dreheim and Representative Bly understand the circumstance. In the past, John Klein, Representative John Klein, came to Northfield several times, and the U.S. House of Representatives a number of times proposed legislation that would more fully fund special education. So this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. It's a funding issue, and I think it's something that both sides of the aisle can come across together and do something that's good for kids with disabilities and also good for local school district budgets.
All right. We only have 60 seconds left. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Can we talk about the Twins? No, I'm just kidding. No, again, what I would really just encourage Northfielders to do is that there's a lot of headlines about things outside of Minnesota in terms of politics, and I absolutely understand that that can be the thing we go toward. It is essential that we pay attention, you know, to what's happening in St. Paul and provide feedback. And our two local representatives, Senator Rich Dreheim and Representative David Bly, both are really good at listening to constituents, so I encourage you to contact them. Make sure you pay attention to what's going on at the legislature and make sure that your voice is heard. We really want to make sure that they fulfill their constitutional obligation of a uniform system of public schools in Minnesota.
All right. Matt, thank you very much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll see you back in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.